it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around picking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down. Will stand up at the terror in each ship and in each sub. Could you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground?
Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight on WWCR Around the World on 5070. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message. Before we do, we're going to make a few very important announcements for our festival coming up in May. That's May the 2nd with the second Passover. We're going to teach on it tonight, the second Passover. We're going to teach the ordinances, the traditions, and the reasons why, the great mystery of the second Passover, not the first Passover, as many people have been employing the tradition of the first Passover. We're going to teach you a revelation about the second Passover. We think it's very needful that we practice and do the things that Yahweh hid from the wise and the prudent, but revealed it to the babes and to the sucklings that would come to the need or the hunger of the revelation of the divine covenant. Now, let me give you a telephone number where we will be in convention in Andrews, North Carolina. If you need to make reservations, we have 15 rooms available, already reserved just for you. So, you need to, when you make reservations at the convention center, you need to tell them that it is reserved under the name of Miss Virginia Chastain. Just say Virginia, and they'll know who you're talking about. And you can call area code 828-837-8880. If you plan to attend, you can call this convention center telephone number where you can stay for the whole week. And we have fantastic rates here, ladies and gentlemen. The rates in Andrews and Murphy, North Carolina area are extremely high at this time because it is the leaf season and a lot of the people are coming through just to see leaves in the springtime. And so you need to get your reservation. Tell them that you are there for the festival and you want a room that is reserved under Virginia Chastain. And by doing so, call 828-837-8880. Now, if you want to fax that number, that would be 828-837-3034. If you'd like to fax the convention center in Murphy, North Carolina. That is 78 Terrace Avenue in Murphy. We'll be there in our Passover festival beginning on May the 2nd. Now, the Passover itself proper, the first 2 days of that Passover, we will be holding that Passover at the property of Brother Dean and Angela there in Murphy, North Carolina. If you'd like directions to the Passover in Murphy, North Carolina, you need to call me here at area code 423-626-2172. But if you don't want to do that, you can call Brother Dean the festival of the Passover. Now, that's where that we will be having our dinner and our Passover services, our old-fashioned foot washing and things of this nature. We will have bluegrass music and the things that we have that's associated with our traditional Passover on May the 2nd. You can call Brother Dean at 1-828-837-8481. So plan to be with us next month, starting on the 2nd. We're going to have a great, fantastic time. We're going to teach some of the covenant mysteries in the Bible. Tonight, I'd like to take you to the 11th chapter of the book of St. John and show you why that the second Passover was initiated and brought in to being where they killed your Messiah. Now, the Bible says that these things were done because they feared the people, the Jews. In the 12th and 13th verse of the 11th chapter of St. John, it says, "Then said his disciples, Master, if he sleep, he doeth well. Howbeit, Yahushua spake of his death," this is Lazarus, "that he thought that he had spoken of taking of rest of sleep. But then he plainly said, well, Lazarus is dead." Now here we are with a dead body, Lazarus, and the Bible says this was actually, if you look at the 12th chapter of the book of St. John, it was 6 days before the Passover that the Messiah came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and the Bible says here that this is associated right before the first Passover. Now, anybody that had touched a dead body or been associated or around a dead body would have been declared unclean. We're going to tell you why that they declared the Messiah and the disciples and Lazarus and the two sisters of Lazarus unclean and to be judged unworthy of keeping the first Passover. Well, the symbolism of those who are judged unclean or unworthy would classify the law and its standards had to be met and dealt with in the biblical way. Now, purification was a very important aspect of the Passover. Very few people know that there is a purification process under the biblical law, and this involves washing and bathing and cleansing yourself in hyssop. Now, this is a cleansing agent recommended by the Bible for a Passover cleansing. We have that, and we observe that and still do that, but we don't do it on the first Passover. We can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And the Bible said, prove all things. Follow after the tradition of the elders, not the tradition of the Jews. Now, the Pharisees, how that they have decided that they might take him, and we're going to walk down here into the 54th verse of the 11th chapter as we continue reading here. "Therefore, the Messiah, Yahushua in a flesh body, walked no more openly among the Jews." Now, it's about Passover time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, he wouldn't walk openly among them, but went into a country near to the wilderness. Remember, he always went to the wilderness. The Bible says that the Messiah departed and went into the wilderness. Now, we're going to tell you where that wilderness place was at. "Into a city called Ephraim. And there he continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand." Now, instead of him staying at Jerusalem, he departed Jerusalem before the Passover and went to a city in Bethel Ephratah, and the city at that time had been named Ephraim in honor of the birthright son of Joseph. This is the home place that Joseph inherited. And so the sons of Ephraim, Yahweh shewing himself a flesh body to fulfill the royal law, himself was not a Jew, as it has been supposed by Christianity. He himself was a birthright descendant of the house of Joseph Ephraim. Therefore, he went home to the wilderness, and the Bible said there he abode. Verse 55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what do you think? Will he come to the feast? So you can see, ladies and gentlemen, that it was a question whether he would or not. Now both the chief priests, listen to me well, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment. In other words, there was a death warrant issued by the chief priest, that was the high priest of the Sanhedrin court, and it was ruled by the Pharisees and the scribes. They had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, that he would tell them and they would take him. Now, let me show you something, a great mystery here in the 12th chapter of the book of St. John. If you notice the first verse, it was 6 days before the Passover that he came to Bethany. Now, Bethany is outside of Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem. Remember, he wouldn't walk among jewelry. That is in St. John chapter 7, verse 1. You see, the Jews openly sought his life. And the 7th chapter of the book of John, verse 1, and after these things walked the Messiah in Galilee. I remember he went to the wilderness in a city called Ephraim, that's in Galilee. And the Galileans were hated and despised by the southern house of Judah. For he would not walk in jewelry or among the house of Judah because the Jews sought to kill him. Now notice this. By seeking to kill him, they were openly trying to take his life. They were trying to catch him in a festival. We're going to prove by the Bible that they definitely did not, by the predestined time for the Messiah to die, was not in the Jewish first Passover. Oh, it's wonderful. If you see this revelation, many people are blind, many people are ignorant, many people fail to study and get the mysteries. Yahweh done things and hid it from the wise and the prudent. And then people blindly stumble on after traditions, things that they thought were right and things that seem right. Did you know around the country today, many people kept what is called the Christian Passover, and they referred to it as Easter. Now, if you go to, let me show you what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 1. If you turn there, you'll see that this word Istar, which is a derivative of the goddess. Now remember, Istar is centers around fertility. And somebody come in and changed the ordinance of Passover to Istar, which was a direct honor and tribute to the goddess Istar. And we know by the scriptures and by the covenant principles that in the book of Istar, or the covenant of Istar, or as we referred to it, as we said, in the feast of Istar, this is when there was a bloodshed. They didn't kill no lamb? No, they didn't kill a lamb. The Istar worshippers do not kill a lamb. They do take the cracker and the grape juice as a substitute because they say that's Passover. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we challenge anybody under the sound of our voice around the world tonight to prove in the Bible that that's Passover. It's not. Let me show you something what they did kill. Did you know that they had a bleeding? You don't believe in killing a lamb. But you know what they really believed in? And people are almost that evil today. They believed in killing the disciples that were preaching against Easter. Now, about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed the brother of John, the name was James, with the sword. And because that it pleased the Jews, oh man, you see, there's the evil people that call themselves Jews, and they're not. They're liars. They're not Yahweh's chosen people, ladies and gentlemen. They're imposters. They're hybrids. They're mixed into the blood of Judah through the covenant of the house of Abraham, as they acknowledged to the Messiah, and the Messiah returned the acknowledgement that they were the sons of Abraham. And I've told you many times before that this Abrahamic seed in the house of Judah, they went down and they prostituted themselves out. They got the Canaanite woman into the house of Israel by marriage to Judah. In the 38th chapter, you'll find that Judah married a Canaanite. These became the famous, the chief seat. They love the chief seat. They love the praise of men, but they have not the integrity of an Israelite. They look like Israel, might talk like Israel, and they might deceive the very elect. I know Mr. Hagee and Mr. This and Mr. That in the famous TV evangelists of today have been deceived by the cunning, crafting, sly works of those that claim to be Jews and are not. And the Bible said they shall. Positive statement, deceive the very elect. And the Bible says after they killed James at Easter, not Passover, it was the correct word, Passover, that the Hebrew boys were keeping. But the Bible, for the first time in era, uses the word in the fourth verse of Acts chapter 12. They put forth their hands to proceed to take Peter also, but then they had to cease from it because after they arrested Peter, they put him in jail, ladies and gentlemen, then were the days of unleavened bread. Now, if you want to find out what the days of unleavened bread was, go to Luke 22, verse 1. It'll tell you exactly what the days of unleavened bread was. So, were they observing an Easter crackers and grape juice celebration as Christianity in falsehood and deception and ignorance and fear and superstition? They won't kill the lamb. But these people that started Easter services would gladly kill the prophets of Yahweh. They hate you because you tell them the truth. And because that it pleased the Jews, they proceeded forth to take Peter and was going to kill him. But they intended to do it only after Easter. Now, look up that word, ladies and gentlemen. That word is not in the original Greek. That is a word that is added to the text. 3957 in your Strong's will tell you that it's Passover. Now, why should we call? Well, I'll come up Easter and see you, and we'll go over to church, and we'll take our little bunny rabbits, and we'll take all the candy and the eggs, and we'll just do these things that we do, and we'll do this, and then we'll take the Easter communion in the comfort of a nice, warm assembly where that we can have the creature comforts and we can have it our way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're in a spiritual dilemma. They have not because they love the tradition of the world. Did you know that men of faith would step out into an old-fashioned altar and they would kill the lamb to keep Passover? We're going to prove it to you before the night's over, if we have enough time, that they actually killed the lamb here in the book of Acts. We're going to show you where that they kept this covenant of a Passover. We're going to establish the fact that they did kill the Passover. and that they did do the ordinances that was pronounced upon the house of Israel from the very word go. Now, when Lazarus was raised, about a time appropriate before the first Passover, there were certain people there that saw this. Now, I'm going to start in chapter 12 again of John. I'm going to start at the ninth verse. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there in Bethany where he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and they came not for the Messiah's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now notice this, verse 10, very important. Mark it in your Bible, if you're studying with us tonight, but the chief, but, here we get a but in here. There is an exception of people that take issue with you when you're preaching the truth. It stirs the devil up, especially around Passover. This is the festival that Yahweh chose to be remembered and observed and carried out according to the divine covenant principle of His Word. He said, keep it forever as a covenant for remembrance. But the chief priests consulted that they might also put Lazarus to death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what would provoke them to want to kill Lazarus? These are God's chosen people. Oh, my. There's something wrong here, folks. Do you get the picture? These were not the people that God chose. These were serpent race people mixed into the house of Israel wanting to kill and to do away. And ladies and gentlemen, they will do away with Yahweh's laws. They'll start tradition. They don't care if you're keeping tradition as long as you don't do it Yahweh's way. You start doing it Yahweh's way and you'll be in the minority. You do it the devil's way, you'll be in the majority. Why? Because many are on the broad way to death and destruction by keeping the tradition of those that set these precedents, and many people follow after them blindly. Because that by reason of them, verse 11, because by Lazarus being raised from the dead, many of the house of Judah went away and believed on the Messiah. Now, verse 1, chapter 12, you really know what day it was in the month that he did this? It tells exactly. Now, let's count. If the Passover was on the 14th day, then if you'll number across your page, if you're keeping notes and making notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 6 days before the Passover, when he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom he raised from the dead. 6 days before Passover. Now, if you count from the 9th day to the 14th, then you count from the 14th when he was crucified on the 14th back to 6 days, you'll get the ninth day. Now, what's the ninth day, Pastor Buddy? Well, if we go to verse 12, you'll find out that on the 10th day was the day that was commanded them to put up the lamb. Well, ladies and gentlemen, true to form, on the second Passover, the Messiah came back to Jerusalem and entered Jerusalem on the 10th day, and that's when they took the branches and the palm trees and said unto him, Hosea, or Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. Oh, my. And, ladies and gentlemen, they killed the King of Israel. And they killed him not on the first Passover. We're going to prove that he did not die on the first Passover. Verse 13. After they took the branches and give him blessing as he entered in, as he rode the little colt into, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, and he came right into the city of Jerusalem on the second Passover. Not the first one, will prove he's alive in the first one. Now, if he's alive, he didn't die on the 14th. You can't talk if they kill you on the 14th. You can't talk at the end of the 14th day if they killed him at 3 o'clock on the 14th day. And I can prove that he died in the ninth hour. If you put it back into time over the 12 hour. He died exactly at 3 o'clock on the dial, on the time dial, which was at 3 o'clock on the Maseroth, and that would be pointing due west. He died for those in the second Passover for them on a far journey. Now notice this. On the 10th day he rode in to it, because it was 6 days before the Passover. And verse 12 it said, and the day, on the next day, which was the 10th day that he came in. So then we've got the record here straightened out. And the people, verse 17, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. Now verse 19, very important. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive you how you prevail nothing, because the people were beginning to believe on it. Behold, the world is gone after him. And they decided, now we're going to get into the plot. The plot thickens here, ladies and gentlemen, as we go back to the scriptures that would indicate that the Messiah did not. Now challenge anybody under the sound of my voice, serpents and all, generation of vipers, anything else that wants to contend that the Messiah died in the first Passover, really don't have any understanding. They haven't read. They haven't studied. And the Bible said, prove all things, and by doing so, in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to begin to read, and I'll show you that they didn't kill him in the first Passover. And it came to pass that when the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body, had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days, now what day would that have been? If he died on the 14th day, he says, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified. Now, they betrayed him in the first Passover. I'm going to show you this, but they didn't kill him until the second one. Then they assembled together, verse 3. They assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders 2 days before the first Passover. Keep this in mind now. We're proving it biblically. Of the people and of the palace of the high priest, and they consulted that they might, after they agreed with Caiaphas, that they should put him to death and kill him. After they consulted how that they might take him with subtlety and kill him, but they said, not on the feast day. Not on the feast day. Now, everybody knows he died on the 14th. That's the feast day. That's the feast of Passover. The feast day was when they killed the lambs, and they prepared the lamb's body to give back to the people, not as a sacrifice. When people say, well, if you kill the lamb, you're sacrificing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you eat a piece of bread, the bread sacrifices for you. Anything that you eat is a sacrifice. The word has been misappropriated. Here in the Feast of Passover, the required meal was lamb. I'm going to go back to this now. Did you know that there's been more ham eat today than there was lamb? On Easter, they don't eat lamb. They say that's sacrificing, but they'll sacrifice a pig. And they'll chomp and chew and munch and enjoy every bite of a filthy, pulsy pig that they eat and swallow into their bellies that's become their gods. Their foolish heart is darkened. They have no knowledge of the word of Yahweh, and then they go blindly right on that he died in the first Passover. And ladies and gentlemen, let me prove to you. The Jews said, we're not going to kill him in our Passover. That's the first one. I don't know if you can understand this. I mean, it might be a little bit quick and too much and too fast, but if you'll get on the ball here and study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll never be able to run with the herd? You've got to come out of the herd. You got to come out of the Broadway. You got to come out where many people are keeping the traditions of these things that's been in Christianity. We have got this plan of grape juice and crackers on Easter, and they call it Holy Communion, sitting in a nice warm church. And then they've got the hams, the bacon in the oven, and as soon as the meeting is over, they run greedily after the heir of the wicked as their bellies become their god, and their appetite changes from lamb. Israel had a lamb appetite. They eat lamb. On the menu, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you to do the ordering, and the Bible says you must answer to Yahweh. They said not on the feast day. The feast day was the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. The Passover. Let's not kill him on the feast day. Right here it is. And if there's any preacher under the sound of my voice that would like to call me up and debate this issue tonight, well then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll give you free time on the radio to prove that he died in the first Passover. And we got a $1,000 reward for anybody that can prove he died in the first Passover. And we're willing to take on anybody that's got a King James Bible, which is what we're reading from right here tonight. Now, if you will, let's go from verse 5. When the Jews agreed to not kill him on the first Passover. Now, why would they agree not to kill him? He was a very popular man. Many people have come up, as we've done, demonstrated and proven to you in the 12th, 11th, and 12th chapter of John, that many people came and wondered if he'd come to the feast. Well, here, ladies and gentlemen, he's fixing to get judged unworthy or unclean on the first Passover. Now, they knew by witnesses that the Jews had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They touched the dead body. They declared him unclean to keep the first Passover. And then they reserved him, knowing that he would keep the Passover and would come back with the unclean. Oh, my. What a revelation. He died for them that was unclean. He died for them that was unholy. He died for them also that was in a far journey. And ladies and gentlemen, you know as good and well as I do that in 721 B.C. in history, that it's noted that the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, in mass were expelled and scattered. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, go not on the way of the Gentiles, proving that the house of Israel, the Hebrews, the lost sheep, are not Gentiles. You people that believe that the Jews are God's chosen people and the rest of us are Gentiles, remember what he said here. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel scattered abroad. In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24, the Messiah confirmed it, and the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, let's go from verse 5. Please come over to the verse 17 of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread is always the 14th day. The disciples came to the Messiah, saying unto him, where will that we go to prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. If he's going to be killed on the 14th, he can't eat no Passover. They're making plans to go somewhere because the Sanhedrin court declared them to be unclean because he'd raised Lazarus from the dead prior to the first Passover. Being judged unclean, they knew that the big crowd in Jerusalem, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and possibly millions, and I would prefer the latter before the former, millions of people were in the city of Jerusalem. Had they killed him, there would have been an uproar, and the Jews are smart enough, recognize it in verse 5. Let's not kill him on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, what would have been a great time to kill him? They would dismiss him and judge him unclean and send him away, knowing that in 30 days he would return with the unclean, and there would be just a few people that had touched the dead body, the embalmers, the families of loved ones that had lost people. And when there's millions of people, there's probably at least 300 or 400 people that would die out of that a day, probably. And they had with the undertakers were very busy. That's just the way nature is. However, that would have been a much smaller crowd that would have had to return to Jerusalem to keep the second Passover, as opposed to those that couldn't come back, and those that were in a far journey, those that were scattered into the isles, and those that were long gone, those that were scattered abroad as the lost sheep, they were commanded in the second Passover, not the first. They couldn't keep the first Passover, ladies and gentlemen, because you must keep it, for his name was that, and his name at that time was in Jerusalem. They would not, could not, return from a far journey. Well, let's go back to the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers. We're going to examine, starting at the fifth verse in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 5. We find an ordinance invoked because Moses, for the first time, had run up. This is the second Passover now, that they had found out that they needed a remedy for people that had touched the dead body and had been declared unclean, and they began to ask Yahweh about the covenant. And what should we do when people that are commanded to keep the Passover? You say, is it a commandment? We're going to read it. It is, ladies and gentlemen, if I have time here. But notice this. In verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even. That's when they killed the lamb, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if you're Messiah and you believe he died in the Passover, he had to die on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. Now, there's nobody in the land that will deny that. So then, if he didn't die in the first Passover on the 14th day, and here we find in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew in the 17th verse, he is alive and planning on going somewhere. Where'd he go back? He went back to the city of Ephraim. He waited to purify himself for the second Passover after they judged him and his disciples unclean by judging him unworthy for the first one. And they also sent Lazarus away because many people were looking for Lazarus and the Messiah who raised him from the dead. And they feared that they killed them. They were planning on killing Lazarus also, ladies and gentlemen. And they feared that if they killed them in the presence of the people up there in Jerusalem at that time, there would be a riot. And now notice this. The Jews are very smart. Verse 6 of the second Passover episode of Numbers chapter 9. And there were certain men who were defiled. See, the Messiah was defiled by the dead body of Lazarus. He was dead. The Jews witnessed it, and they judged him unclean, that they could not keep the first Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. And those men said unto them, we are defiled with a dead body. Therefore, we are kept back, and we are not to keep the first Passover. What do we do in this appointed season for Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still. I'm going off to meditate and to hear the word of Yahweh. I will command this to you when I come back. And verse 9, and Yahweh spake unto Moses. Didn't take him long to speak up. It don't take long, Pastor Buddy, very long to speak up with the truth. The truth will make you free. Everybody wants to be set free in an ordinance of Easter, bunny rabbits, grape juice and crackers, and call it Passover. That's the biggest mistake that they make, because a Bible said, my people, ladies and gentlemen, you better come out of her. You're in Babylon. You better come out of her, my people. If you're honest, if you're sincere, and you love Yahweh, and you love the word, come out and save yourself and them that will hear you. And verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you, of your posterity, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey. Oh, what foresight that the Creator knew that he would scatter his sheep abroad. Yet he shall, listen to me now, couldn't get away from it, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Yahweh on the 14th day of the second month. First month was the Passover. Second month was the second Passover for them that touched the dead body or for those unclean. The Jews knew that. Do you know that? Did you know it? Did you know about a second Passover? You know who kept it? The Messiah. The last Passover the Messiah kept was the second pastor. Now, we're going for confirmation number two that he did not die. So I'm going to give you two witnesses. Then I'll give you a third as what we call in the old language of street language, I'll give you the kicker. The third and the fourth witness. And if that ain't enough for you, then I don't know what to do for you. Now, we're going to go to the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. Now, notice verse 1. And when they came nigh unto Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth his disciple, and he told him to go to find a colt. Now again, he rode into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. We know it was 6 days before Passover. Count back, it was the 9th day. The next day it says, and the next day he entered into Jerusalem. So he entered in right on the day that they put up the lamb. Did you know in Joshua chapter 4, ladies and gentlemen, to give you some understanding of the metaphors and the analogies that we're using here, all of this is tradition, and the saints were commanded to keep it forever, forever, an ordinance forever. Nowhere does it say to take a ham of meat, put it in your oven on Easter morning, and get up and go to a church and take communion of grape juice and crackers and come back and slice ham. It don't say that. But people do it by the literal millions of people, and then you can preach them the Passover and the ordinance and the covenants and read it right out of the Bible, and they won't do it Yahweh's way. They love to break his commandments. People think by changing Yahweh's way, and everybody wants to do it, is a rebellion and a Christ spirit, an anti-anointing. Now notice this. We're going to move to the 14th chapter, quickly, of the book of Mark. I must hurry along to get this into you. Again, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Oh, they wanted to get rid of this guy. They want to get rid of you if you preach the word. They hate you without a cause because they hate the word. If a preacher is preaching the word, you shall be hated of all people. You gotta learn to love Yahweh. You gotta learn to obey him, and when you do, you'll love his prophets. They'll stand for you, they'll stand behind you, they'll stand with you, and they'll take the heat. They won't run from the kitchen, ladies and gentlemen, because we ain't got nothing to run for. We got something to run for. We run for Yahweh, and we give no quarter and take none. Take no prisoners in the faith, because the Bible said, preach the word! Be instant in season and out, and reprove with all suffering and authority of doctrine. Here we are. Again, I want you, as students of the Bible, with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Hall, draw you a line in your Bible from verse 2 over to verse 12. If he's not living here, then I'm badly fooled. Now the feast, or the first day of unleavened bread, when they kill the Passover, his disciples, he's not on the torture stake, ladies. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that on the 13th, the night of the 13th, they arrested him? They beat him the night of the 13th. They beat him unmercifully. And in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13, verse 1, where people get the idea that he drunk grape juice and crackers, and this is where the Christian concepts and ideals come from, that they're keeping Passover. It says, right here in your Bible, read it, ladies and gentlemen, it says it was 2 days before Passover. Now, was that Passover? You think he broke his own law and kept an early Passover? Well, ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't eat the Passover and be the Passover. You gotta acknowledge he either escaped the Passover or he died on the Passover. And most people will acknowledge he died on the Passover. Well, St. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, now before the Passover, he came together with his disciples and he had what is called the preparation meal. Now, this is on the second Passover, ladies and gentlemen, not the first one. He's eating a goodbye meal. He knew it was going to be his last meal. It was the last meal that ever went in his body. And it wasn't lamb. He was the lamb. Hallelujah. And he ate this meal, which was the last meal that they searched their homes. It was all a, it was a Hebrew tradition. The on the 13th, the night of the 13th, to search their homes to remove all the leaven. Get ready, prepare, prep yourself for the coming Passover on the 14th day when they had to assemble at Jerusalem and keep the Passover. That was the first Passover. All the unclean had to come back. If they were in the state of Israel, they had to return back 30 days later to the day. Here we are coming up on May the 2nd, 30 days later after the first one. And we're going to keep in remembrance of somebody that died for us. And ladies and gentlemen, it was marvelous. His face wasn't facing east like they do on Easter early sunrise Sunday morning. He was facing west. And you know who he was looking at? Oh, hallelujah. He was looking at the sheep that was scattered abroad in a far journey. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are there looking west, you're looking into the British Isles in America. Go straight line with the compass and you'll wind up right here in good old America. Here we are on the second Passover in remembrance of him that hung on the torture stake on the second Passover on the 14th day and he died at 3 o'clock. Here it says, if you will do yourself a confirmation favor of two witnesses that I've already gave you, it says 2 days before the Feast of Passover, they were talking to him and it came to pass, verse 12, from verse 2, the Jews said, don't kill him on our Passover. Let's get him in the second one. Let's declare him unclean. He'll have to come back. Him and that little ragtag evangelistic service people he's got, Peter, James, and John, they hated him. You know why? Every one of them was Galileans. They wanted a Jew in the crowd except one, and he was a deceiver. His name was Judas, and his father was Simon the Canaanite. We know why he was in there. Ladies and gentlemen, they's something they never would pile. If I can speak to you, and let me tell you something, a rotten apple spoiled the whole barrel. Here they said, not on the Feast of the Passover. And on the first day of unleavened bread, which was the 14th, when they killed the Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, he should have been in jail. When these disciples talking to him, he should have been in jail. He should have been incarcerated. He should have his flesh beat off his back. Because at 9 o'clock the next morning, he was before Pilate. At 12 o'clock, they impaled him on the stake, and he hung there 3 hours of passion from 12 o'clock high. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we get the word. At 12 o'clock high, he hung on the torture stake at 12. What was he hanging there, and what was the symbol of that, Pastor Buddy? There's 12 tribes. On the time clock of Yahweh's time existence, he hung there for the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. He died facing west toward his sheep scattered abroad, died in the second Passover for them that are unclean and them that was unworthy, them that had separated themselves from the commonwealth of the house of Israel, and they killed him on the second Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find out here as it says. Now notice here, it takes a person with ability to search the Scripture. Verse 32, he goes out into a garden on the night of the 13th. They arrest him the night of the 13th. Well, you know that he only went out to the garden after he ate a meal with his disciples. It wasn't Passover. It was before Passover. Where is the tradition of grape juice and crackers? Oh, you say, we wash feet to it at our Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, to keep a proper Passover, we're going back to the Bible and establish the reasons why that we keep a Passover. There has to be some reasons here other than just a tradition of crackers and grape juice. It just don't get the job done according to the Bible. We're going to show you how they kept the Passover, and it is in the book of Exodus chapter 12. We're going to go there quickly. Well, we have a few minutes remaining here, as we can't get it all in. Ladies and gentlemen, I could preach here for 2 hours on this subject alone, and I wouldn't be told about the great mysteries that have sanctified our people and brought us forth into a revelation that he said, my people will know my mysteries. I will reveal it first to the prophets, and then the prophets to the people. Now we're going to start at verse 1, and Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be unto you the first month of the year. Speak unto the people of all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day. Now, in Joshua chapter 4, guess what day? Oh, my. It just sends chill bumps up and down my spine. In the 4th chapter of the book of Joshua, when they crossed the river, they took up 12 stones, put on their shoulders, took them up to Gilgal, made them an altar, and there they kept Passover. That was what he said. Keep a Passover on that day and bring a lamb on the 10th day of the month. Joshua says on the 10th day, Yahshua, that little general named Yahshua, ladies and gentlemen, he led them over into the promised land on the 10th day. That's the day you put up the lamb. That's the day that the lamb come home. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we keep Passover, because of the symbology. And he said, teach it to your children. And he said to take a lamb of the first year from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day. Verse 6. You shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. Oh, I can't stand killing a poor little lamb. Well, you go down Kroger's and buy you a beefsteak. Wonder who killed that for you. You didn't hear the squeal of the animal. You didn't hear the blood and guts being jerked out of its body and the packaged meat embalmed and wrapped up in a nice meat case for you, and you go home and fry it up and say you haven't committed a sacrifice. You just had one, whether you realize it or not. And the way you're going to glorify Yahweh, you don't eat the ham, you eat the lamb, and you eat it on the 14th day after going down the sun between the evenings. And here's what it says. Here's what it says. You shall kill it in the evening. And here's what it says in verse 14. I want you to read it now. Verse 14, and this day. Oh, my, no wonder I do it for a memorial. No wonder you do it for a memorial. This day, not crackers and grape juice, ladies and gentlemen. This day shall be unto you a memorial of killing the lamb, and you shall keep it as a feast of Yahweh throughout your generations. And you shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Ladies and gentlemen, why is it that the devil wants to do away with Yahweh's laws? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Israel doesn't want to obey Yahweh. They didn't do that. And let's go to the 24th verse of the 12th chapter. One more time, and three confirmations of a forever ordinance. And you shall observe to do this thing for an ordinance to thee and to who? To your son. That's posterity. That's the offspring. Well, I'm a son of Yahweh. I am a son of Jacob Israel. I am an Ephraimite, and I'm still doing it. I'm still carrying on the family tradition. I don't keep that whore tradition of crackers and grape juice in a nice little convenient warm place. I don't do that. I used to do that. We were all deceived. We were all led astray. But now that I know what the Bible says, I want to do it the Bible way. Give me the Bible. Praise Yahweh. Verse 24, how long are they going to keep it? Forever. Now, let's go over to the 42nd verse of the same scriptures. We're hurrying through this because we ain't got time. We're fixing to wrap it up here. Verse 42. It is a night to be observed unto Yahweh when we brought you out of the land of darkness to keep your Passover out of the land of Egypt, that this night, on the 14th day of the month, they left Egypt. You shall observe it. All of the children of Israel shall observe it. How long? In all of their generations. As long as there's an Israel, that's a generation. Are we still keeping it? Yes, we are. Where we're keeping that, Pastor Buddy, would you like to attend? Would you like to have it just your way at Burger King? Or would you like to have it Yahweh's way at an old-fashioned feast site where there's an altar prepared and a lamb fixing to be slayed for you, and we'll divide the portion of the lamb as, not a sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, it's a meal. It's a family meal. It's a racial covenant family meal, and only the sons of Jacob are invited. Why? Because that's the ones that will love him. That's the ones that will keep his laws forever. Now, one more thing. Verse 43. And And Yahweh said unto Moses and to Aaron, third witness, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. That's why it's racial covenant, ladies and gentlemen. Strong's number 5236, read the word, and you'll find out that that's a non-Israelite. If you're an Israelite, you want to come down to Murphy, North Carolina, on the second day of May. That'll be the 14th day, 30 days after the first Passover. We will be keeping the second Passover as a memorial covenant forever, and we invite you to come. If you can make it, come. And you can dial 1-828-837-8880 for reservations number. Remember to use Sister Virginia Chastain, or you can call Brother Dean and Angela at 828-837-8481. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time has come, and my time is too quickly come and gone. I've enjoyed being with you. My, how time flies when you're having the delight of your life, when you preach the gospel, the instant and season out. And ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that by His stripes, we're healed. He was striped on the second Passover, killed, murdered, literally, numbered among the transgressors on the second Passover for those unclean. If you can't catch the symbology, then we believe that you're not racial covenant, you don't have a revelation, and you are separated and will probably remain in the congregation of the dead. And you know who the dead are? Those that have not the commandments and the ordinances of Yahweh, those that don't love Him, those that love tradition, those that love the family things of life and tradition, rather than loving the Word of Yahweh and separating yourselves and coming out from among them. Did you know the Bible calls you to come out of Babylon? What is Babylon? Family tradition. Things that seem right. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm live here tonight in the central part of the great state of Michigan. We've been up here in a two-day revival, had a wonderful time, dedicated an altar here in central Michigan, had a wonderful fellowship with the brothers and sisters that truly love Yahweh in an awesome way. I've been treated so kind and so nice by so many good Michiganans, and we invite you to call us sometime in the next week about this message. If you'd like to get in touch with us to keep the second Passover, please do so. You're welcome as long as you're Covenant Jacob Israel. You can call Pastor Buddy at area code 1-423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. I'm on the road at a remote location here in central Michigan tonight, but I will be home Monday afternoon, Yahweh willing, and I will be able to receive your calls. If you'd like to write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, and we will get your letter in time to invite you and send you covenant racial information on the second Passover. I think you'll be blessed. I think we'll teach things that you will see that's been kept secret for at least 2,000 years. This revelation is coming to you courtesy of those that love Yahweh and keep His commandments. Now, if you will, write us again. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy. That's all you got to have. New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. Call me at area code 1-423-626-2172. Leave me a voicemail message on my phone tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and make me feel good when I get home from my journey. And again, I extend my great thanks to all the friends that I have here in central Michigan. I tell you what, I've had a wonderful time, and I'm so glad I came to Michigan at the invitation of the brothers and sisters up here that invited us to have a meeting here, and we've had a wonderful time. Many blessings to you, ladies and gentlemen. Around the world, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call saying, Yahweh bless you. I'd like to see you down in Murphy, North Carolina on May the 2nd. Be with us there in Covenant Passover to keep the festival of Passover. We'll see you. Yahweh bless you.
Be sure to listen to Shepherd's Call with Gary Haygood and Pastor Buddy, Sundays at 7 p.m. Central, 0000 UTC, Monday, on 5.070 megahertz.
Men that will be seduced to become evil because they love money. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight.
Shepherd's Call brings the truth in the gospel, in gospel terms. That's Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy and Gary Haygood, Sundays at 7 p.m. Central, 0000 UTC, Monday, on 5.070 megahertz, Worldwide Christian Radio.